Thank you. And we thank the bells for playing and for Michael
directing us this morning. All of you should have a Sending 6 folder. If anyone doesn't, raise your hand and someone will bring it to you. Has everyone got one of these for the worship this morning? Okay. Okay, Scott.
Okay, I got a few announcements. If you'd please stay after service for a quick congregational meeting, we need to vote on the agreement for the joint call for joint clergy between the UCC and St. Luke's. Again, this is only for an interim pastor for the next approximate year until we get through the call process. We're going to share an interim minister with the UCC, share the expenses, which will help both congregations in this time of transition. The minister will serve our congregation 9 o'clock in the morning service and go up there to UCC at 11 o'clock. So we'll have separate churches, separate buildings, separate services. We'll still have our unique identities, but it's just a matter of combining the costs so we can afford this person. And basically, next week we have Pastor Sarah coming back from Synod. After service, there will be a PowerPoint presentation that she will present on the call process, the entire process of what we are looking at the next year, what we have to go through, what we have to do to hire our next full-time minister. And then following that presentation will be a potluck, and the potluck will start around 12:15-ish. And that is because the UCC will probably be joining us for potluck. Because if the vote is positive today at both churches to join an agreement, then the councils will make an offer of call to Larry. We've got a compensation package worked out. He's so far verbally agreed to it, and if he agrees, he's planning on leaving Wednesday. Coming up, he'll be here Friday of this week. He will be, as Sarah will lead the service Sunday, and Pastor Larry will just be an observer to watch for one Sunday, and then he will be here with time to share with us during the potluck. Both councils met last Wednesday night. We had a good Skype interview with him, and we were pleasantly, I guess we enjoyed what we learned from him. I can't think of the words right now. But we were pleased with what we've seen, and he has quite a few good ideas to get us off to the right start to help lead us in this time of transition for both churches. So that's what's coming up the next couple of weeks. So, and then starting on the 30th, then Pastor Seidel would start preaching here. So.
Okay, Scott, I'm concerned about the food. The bulletin says 11, and you said 12:15. So which is it? Is it what you said or what the bulletin says?
Because that's what we were talking about on Monday night after the bulletin was printed, that the UCC wanted to join as well, and their service is 11.
Oh, okay, so they're not joining us then next Sunday.
They're not joining us in worship. They're going to be joining us for potluck afterwards.
So 12:15.
So I think it's going to be closer. It'll probably be closer to 12. But by the time we get done with service at 10:30, and then do the presentation of an hour, it's going to be 11:30, 11:45 before we get downstairs anyway to start setting up for potluck. So it's
on the 30th. Isn't he going to go over and be visiting them to look?
He's going to preach here at 9, and then he's going to go over to UCC at 11 to visit their service because they have an interim minister, or they've got a retired minister in their congregation that is providing pastoral support through the month of September. So he doesn't have to preach there the 30th, but he's going to observe so he can learn a little bit more. And we figured that's a little better, so he's not quite throwing him to the wolves. He can actually see what it looks like first and see how we run a service, and hopefully it should smooth the transition.
Okay, don't confuse us. We just want to talk about next Sunday only.
So next Sunday, we'll... It'll probably be 11:45 or 12 before we eat. And
if they have 11 till 12 worship, people like 12:15.
And they're going to.
Yeah. 12:15 potluck.
So
downstairs here next Sunday. be sure to bring your food. And be sure to come and stay after if you want to sort of understand what things, how the process works at the congregation. That's really good. Anyone else have any other announcements at this time?
Just one quick one. Special Olympics will be doing, already starting bowling, already believe it or not. It's the fall tournament will be September 28th in Sheridan, if anyone wants to go and attend. It is local this year, so it's nice. So we have 11 bowlers this year that will be bowling. We've got an extra one on our team. So wish Jake luck when you see him. He will be bowling on the 28th, and we'll be going to state games in October, the 10th through the 12th. So just remember, kids, as they bowl.
Okay, and Sunday school is next Wednesday at 6 p.m. downstairs. The bells will be practicing, so kids, you go downstairs. Okay, let's take about 30 seconds as we prepare our hearts for worship, and then we'll begin with confession and forgiveness. Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts. Amen. Hymn number 525.
Forever more than we ever conquered.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation, and by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The congregation may be seated.
First reading today is from Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 through 9a. The Lord God had given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not put to shame. He who vindicates me is near, who will contend with me. Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll say Psalm 116, 1 through 9 responsively today. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication.
For the Lord has given ear to me whenever I call.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, for your grace saves my life.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought low, and God saved me.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt well with you.
For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling.
I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. Our second reading is from the book of James, chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. When it we bless the Lord and Father, with it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
According to Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. So who do we say Jesus is? Jesus is Lord. Who do we say Jesus is?
Jesus is Lord.
Good. Children. Have some children here. Come forward, please. I'm going to begin with a story today. There was five frogs who were hopping along the road, and they decided to go into the forest that was next to the road. And they hopped in, and they didn't see a big pit there, a deep pit, and two of the frogs fell right into the pit. And they hopped, and they hopped, and they couldn't get out. And the other three frogs who were looking over the edge and into it said, "Just lay down and die. You just lay down and die." And so the one frog, he laid down and he died. But the other frog, he kept hopping and hopping, and finally got out. And they said to him, "Why didn't you lay down and die like the other one did?" "Because we were telling you," he says, "I'm deaf, I couldn't hear, and I thought you were cheering me on." And so we see that our words are really important, what we say to others, what you say to your brothers and sisters and family and schoolmates at school. What we say is really important. So we're going to sing a song, and the congregation is going to help us do it. Okay, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Okay? And point to ours, we do this. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ear, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us eyes and ears and tongues and hands and feet and all those various members of our body. We thank you for that. And we pray that you help us to use them in the way that you would want us to do. Amen. Okay, thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. How important are the words we speak? That's what I want us to think about this morning. I want to begin by having you look at the first verse, or verse 4 actually, in Isaiah. The first one printed in your bulletin. And these are words that Jesus took and applied to himself. And it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher. Was Jesus not a teacher? He says, in order that I may know how to sustain the weary with the word, morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. I think maybe this last part would apply more to us. Some of us are teachers here, and so those of us who are teachers could apply the first part. God has given us the tongue of a teacher, but not all of us are teachers. But this last part, morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. In Marriage Encounter, we have 10 different talks we do on a weekend, and one of them is just called listening. And we teach couples to listen to each other. And those of you who are married know how difficult it is sometimes to get your spouse to actually hear what you're saying. And you don't have to be married for this kind of stuff, because just talking to anyone, we know that we may say something and they come up with something entirely different. So listening is something that's very important, as we're talking about in our children's sermon also. But then James talks to us today about the tongue. And he compares it to the bit in the mouth of a horse. And any of you who have ridden a horse or seen someone do it, you know how that bit in there, they can make the horse go anywhere they want to stop, to run, to gallop, whatever. And so that little bit controls everything this huge horse, who's probably over 1,000 pounds, weighs. Or he says it's like the rudder on a ship, how this rudder controls the whole ship. One of my memories from childhood is Johnny Horton singing Sink the Bismarck. You know that one? You know? And the Bismarck was a German battleship that was bigger and better than anything else that anyone else had. And the British were after it to get it, and it sunk several of the British ships. But in one of the battles, I think a torpedo, if I got this right, would hit the rudder of the Bismarck, and the Bismarck was just making circles in the water. It couldn't control itself anymore because that rudder was damaged. And so at that point, then they were able to sink the Bismarck. James says, you know how forest fires are started. We've seen them this summer, especially in California and Montana and other places. We've seen them a few years ago in the Bighorns here. It lasted for several months. And even in the Black Hills, Nancy and I know a person who started a fire. This person was unhappy. They stopped by the road, smoked a cigarette, and threw the cigarette in the dry stuff and just sat there and watched it burn. And thousands of acres were burned because of that kind of thing. And so the tongue can do these kinds of things. I've been hurt by things that people have said about me that were not true. And we know that today it's not even always just speaking, but it's emails and blogs and all sorts of social media is used to hurt people and telling stories. Some of you remember back to a gal by the name of Karen Carpenter, who was a singer, and she was known as Richard's chubby sister. And because of that, she became bulimic, however you say that, and eventually died as a result of this, because she just wanted to lose that weight so she wouldn't be known as somebody's chubby sister. Another story, the story of a village. And in this village was a man who was spreading all types of rumors and lies about other people. And so this man was called before the chief, and the chief was to mete out the punishment. And he says, here, I have a bag of feathers here, and I want you to go, and at the door of everyone that you've lied about and told rumors about, I want you to lay a feather. And so it took the man about 4 hours. He got this done. He came back with the bag empty, and he said, I've done it. And the chief said, okay, I want you to come here tomorrow morning, and I'll give you the rest of your punishment. And so the next morning he showed up, and he says, here's the bag that's empty. Now I want you to go and collect all those feathers that you laid at the doors of people that you told falsehoods about. And he says, chief, you know, I don't know if you remember, but last night there was a real windstorm, and those feathers are bound to be gone.
And he says, yeah, that's right. And that's the way that it works. When you tell falsehoods and lies about people, it's stuff that can't be taken back. It's gone, and other people hear it. And it tells you a little bit about how terrible it is when we allow our tongue to do those kinds of things. Five ideas of things we might want to remember. Number one, never say anything about anyone that you would not say to their face. Never say anything about anyone that you wouldn't say to their face. Secondly, never say anything about anyone unless they are there to respond to what it is that you have said. Thirdly, never listen to anyone else's gossip. I'm sure none of you have been in a group that say, did you hear about Nancy Orwin? Do you know what she did? And boy, our ears are open and we're ready to listen, right? That just helps propel gossip. You know, now if I'm as her husband, I can do that, but you can't. Okay. Four, say something about positive about people you are discussing. How often do when someone says that person is a lousy doctor, and you say, "Well, I've gotten really good care from that guy. I think he or she is a good doctor." You know, how often do we back up the negative by saying something positive? And what James says in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, to remember that. Just this last week, I had someone come to me and said, you know, I want to tell you, my kids really enjoyed confirmation with you. They said, that was a lot of fun. Do you know how that made me feel? I mean, I wanted to start crying, you know. It was like, wow, I did something good that some people like. You know, you never hear these kinds of things. How often do we tell people good things about them that we like or heard? I think that from this, you know, we need to take, you know, not just the negative, but the positives. Tell people good things. Don't make them up, of course. But if you know something good, something kind or nice that someone's done to you or the way they've treated you, tell them that. Hey, I really appreciate that. That just goes a long way. And we seem to live in a world today more and more. Everything is negative. We always tell everything horrible about people, whether true or false, we tell it. Well, I think we could do something here. I was playing with my computer the other day and I ran across an old Coke commercial that was several years ago they tried in the Netherlands. And these people are on the trolley going home. And most of us can't identify with it unless you've lived in a big city. You know what that's like. And everyone's just sitting there, you know, typical, you know, thinking about the day and hoping to get home. And then this guy has his computer here, and he looks at it, and he starts laughing. And people look at him like, first of all, their vision is saying, what's wrong with this guy? And he's laughing. And then he really laughs. And pretty soon we see smiles on the faces of people. And pretty soon the whole car is bursting out with laughing just because this guy is laughing. I thought of trying to get someone to start laughing in church, but I wasn't sure who I would get to do that. But anyway, I thought that was neat. You know, a positive thing. And you know, it's not words, but it's still a gesture or something. No joke was told. No one knew why he was laughing, but he's laughing, and they thought that was funny. Anyway, St. Francis, I wanted to read a quote to you from him. He says, brothers and sisters, you are Christ to the world. Christ has no hands but your hands to touch and bless and heal. No feet but your feet to lead people in the path of truth. No arms but your arms to gather the scattered. No tongue but your tongue to cheer a suffering mankind. No heart but your heart to love, to pity, to care. And so things we can do now. I know if I said, you know, who do we say Jesus is? Lord. Now we'll try this again. Who do we say Jesus is? Jesus is Lord. Okay. And most of you say, well, I'm not a preacher and I'm not going around saying Jesus is Lord. But maybe there's ways we can do it. And one thing that Nancy and I have taken is called Strength Finders, and there's a book for it. We did this Marriage Encounter, but it's not related to Marriage Encounter necessarily. But what Strength Finders does is you go through it, you take a test, and you find out what your strengths are. And we could say what gifts you have been given by the Holy Spirit. And I've noticed that most people who have gifts, like someone who is a good singer, and you say, boy, I wish I could sing like you, and they'll say, nothing to it. You just sing, open your mouth, and it comes out. But they forget that singing is a talent, is an ability, it's a gift. And other things, this is just one example. And sometimes the best way to find out what your gifts are or strengths is to ask a good friend. A good friend will tell you, you know, I've noticed you're really good at this. You know, and they'll say, really? And they don't think of it as a gift at all. But that's because it's their strength. And so if we use our strengths, this is one way we proclaim the gospel. This is one way we tell people about Christ. It may not be up here a sermon, but it's doing it in the way with the talents and gifts that God has given you, and that's important. And then James says, from the same mouth cometh forth blessings and cursings by people that ought not to be. You know, how can we say Jesus is Lord, and the next with that old SOB, you know, blah blah blah. You know, James says, no, we shouldn't have the same different things coming out of the same mouth. If we're Christians, we need to act like it. Well, I don't want to spend much time with the gospel except to say, who do we say Jesus is?
Jesus is Lord.
All right. And it says, if one wants to be his followers, then we take up our cross and follow him. We take up maybe our talents and present them to others. Our words not only tell who Jesus is, but our words tell who we are, both as individuals and as a congregation. And we know, as the one song says, we are children of God. They'll know we are children by our love. Maybe we could say that they'll know we are Christians by our words. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We will sing hymn number 798. 798. Let's together confess our faith. Who do we say Jesus is?
Jesus is Lord.
So let's confess our faith in Jesus using words of the Apostles' Creed, as you have on page 7 of your folder. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for the prayers of the church.
Freed by God in Christ to live and love and serve, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's beloved creation. Gracious God, you call your church to embody the love you have shown us. Raise us up each day to bear witness against sin, death, and the grave. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Creative God, forks and galaxies bear witness to your imagination. Inspire scientists, naturalists, and conservationists who work to conserve precious natural resources. Grant us the wisdom to be good keepers of the earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, you bless citizens with the gifts of reason and perseverance. Embolden people around the world to seek the common good, to serve their neighbors, and to delight in freedom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Loving God, you bless us with an abundant world. When your children wander homeless, hungry, and naked, strengthen us to be your presence as we care for those in need, especially those we mentioned before you now. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
Welcoming God, thank you for this congregation where we have found a home. Make us restless as we seek new and creative ways to expand our loving invitation to all people who seek a community. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
In every time and in every place, you have raised up examples of loving service. Make us all good and loving witnesses to your extravagant compassion. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your wide embrace, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your boundless mercy through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share the peace at this time. Thank you.
stand, the offertory.
Oh, you have a cake? Maybe we should. Maybe we should. We'll go ahead and take the offering first. These gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. For one gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty Merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night which he was betrayed, O Lord, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all those who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Congregation may be seated.
baptism for you.
Now by the body and blood of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen.
Who do we say Jesus is?
Jesus is Lord.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Sing the last hymn.
Breath my way.
Who do we say Jesus is?
Jesus is Lord.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.